First, we have a new segment of radio productions. We hope these diverse and engaging pieces have provided you with enjoyment and insight throughout our broadcast. As we continue, we return to the profound wisdom of Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul with the spring of truth. Following that, we dive back into another segment of radio productions. Then we open the gate of knowledge. Sheikh Mustafa Mukhtar will explain and illustrate the profound moral, ethical, spiritual, and social teachings found within the Nahjul Balagha, a perfect way to continue the day with profound wisdom. After this, we have Round the World with reporters. Coming up next, another exciting chapter from our radio productions right here on Iran Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Journey into the unknown, from West Asia to Turkey, to the Greek islands, hoping to reach Europe illegally. It is considered one of the stories of illegal immigration faced by many refugees and migrants. This journey often starts from West Asia to the Turkish coast of Izmir, which is a departure point for many people trying to reach Europe, especially across the Aegean Sea, in an attempt to reach the Greek islands. Amir, a young Palestinian from Gaza. His story is part of the tragedy lived by the people of Gaza. It reflects the level of despair felt by these young men, despite their attachment to their land and their right to it. However, some see that seeking refuge in Europe is a temporary solution to financially support their families in Gaza and help them endure. Amir risks his life on an illegal journey, hoping to return one day to his occupied homeland under better conditions than today.
I traveled to help my family because of the recent war on Gaza. We lost our lands and our home, and my father and my fiancé were martyred. I traveled to support them, but after everything I witnessed here and the illness we suffered, we gained nothing. We'll return to Gaza after what I have seen here. I will take the residency and go back to Gaza because it is my homeland and I will never abandon it. I will not leave it to the Israelis.
Gaza Strip has been under siege for years, and now it is experiencing genocide, forcing people to leave their land, but they refuse to do so and cling to their land despite the deteriorating economic situation, increasing unemployment rates, and lack of educational and professional opportunities. The residents also suffer from a severe shortage of basic resources such as electricity and water, in addition to the continuous destruction of infrastructure due to armed conflicts and ongoing wars. The people of Gaza face enormous challenges in building their future within the Strip and need support to continue resisting.
I traveled from Gaza alone on a visa to Turkey, then from there to Egypt, and later back to Turkey. I got in touch with a smuggler there, and we set off across the sea 8 times. We saw death with our own eyes until we reached Greece, hoping to live with dignity, but we regretted arriving there. No one understands the suffering of traveling by boat except those who have gone through it. No matter how much I describe it, no one will feel what we went through. Many died at sea because of the Greek Coast Guard, who would shoot at us, take our phones and money, and send us back to the sea mercilessly.
Psychological distress that we see is really high. You have people crying, people shaking, people decompensating as well sometimes. And again, it's always linked to the fear of violence, the fear of being pushed back, the fear of being exposed again to not knowing what will happen, and most often to violence. So there is really those two components in this activity, the medical care, but as well the psychological care.
Israeli colonization of Palestine is the problem of West Asia. But the United States and the European Union have provided significant political, military, and financial support to Israel for decades. This support has contributed to solidifying Israel's military superiority and the continuation of its occupation of Palestinian territories. The United States, in particular, is considered Israel's biggest ally, providing billions of dollars annually in military aid and repeatedly using the veto power in the UN Security Council to prevent resolutions condemning Israeli policies. The European Union presents a more balanced stance on the surface, but practically it also supports Israel through trade agreements and strong diplomatic relations, with timid positions on the ongoing violations of Palestinian rights. Many believe that this support encourages Israel to continue its policies of occupation, settlement, and blockade, without fear of international accountability.
Very interestingly, and actually it shows how what's happening in Greece in terms of migration is linked to the broader picture and what happened outside. People from Gaza were actually one of, or the first community of people arriving in Greece before the 7th of October. People arrive in Europe, in Greece, indeed with a lot of traumatic experience. A lot of violence happened to them from country of origin to the transit country, to sometimes as well when just crossing the sea from Turkey to Greece. We provide psychological care. We have a few psychologists, and they either provide group session, but also individual session, trying to relieve the suffering of those invisible wounds.
Many humanitarian organizations provide support to migrants on these islands, but the problem persists as it needs radical solutions at the level of European countries and international cooperation. The most important of these solutions is addressing the root causes of migration and developing comprehensive migration policies. The European Union has not provided significant support to Greece to help it face the refugee and migrant crisis that has flooded its lands in recent years.
Our team provides emergency medical assistance to people as they arrive on the shore of the island. We do this in close collaboration with authorities. There is a public information that notifies at the same time all authorities and all relevant actors that a group of people has landed and is in need of medical care. So then, based on our capacity, we deploy an emergency medical team to go and provide medical and psychological first aid.
The illegal immigration journey taken by Amir and others is not just an escape from a miserable reality, but also a search for solutions to earn money and support their families back home. Even if it is fraught with risks, it is, for them, a temporary solution until their situations improve in their countries. However, they say the only solution to the refugee problem is the end of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands and the establishment of peace in West Asia, which requires global international will and UN resolutions.
true that asylum is accepted for Palestinians, but the authorities do not cooperate with us at all. We do not enjoy any human rights inside the detention centers, where we suffer from harsh living conditions and widespread diseases with no real medical care. When I went to the hospital 5 times, I only received painkillers without a clear diagnosis of my condition. Life inside the camp is very difficult and inhuman.
The Mediterranean region is considered one of the main routes used by illegal migrants to reach Europe. Boats depart from Turkey and North African countries, such as Libya, Tunisia, and Morocco, heading toward the coasts of Italy, Spain, and Greece. This maritime route is fraught with danger, as thousands of migrants lose their lives at sea each year due to poor travel conditions and overcrowded boats. Political instability in some North African countries, like Libya, exacerbates the issue, as these nations serve as major departure points for migrants. On the other hand, Turkey is used as a gateway for illegal migrants crossing into Greece via the Aegean Sea. Despite agreements between the European Union and Turkey aimed at curbing the flow of migrants, thousands still manage to sneak into Europe through the Turkish-Greek border. These migrants do not stop in Greece, but continue along land routes through Bulgaria and the Balkans, eventually reaching Austria and Germany, where they seek asylum or economic opportunities. Amir met with traffickers and was promised an arrangement for his journey across the sea. These traffickers offer their services for large sums of money, and migrants are often in desperate situations, forcing them to accept the risks that could cost them their lives. The traffickers promise to get them to Europe, but in reality, they cannot guarantee the safety of the journey. After leaving Gaza, Amir set off on a maritime journey aboard a small boat, crammed with dozens of other migrants. The journey across the sea was fraught with dangers: rough waves, high heat, and harsh conditions on board the boat, all of which were unbearable challenges. Amir and his fellow travelers were on the brink of drowning, as the boat had technical problems, and there was a shortage of food and water, in addition to encounters with the Coast Guard.
I have many friends in Turkey, and we exchange information about the smugglers. There are areas like Izmir and Bodrum that are full of smugglers. The problem is that choosing the wrong smuggler could mean losing money or being deceived. There are different types of trips, with prices ranging from 1,500 to 4,000 euros. The fast boat is the best, as it takes only 10 minutes to reach the island, unlike the regular boats, which take hours and are more dangerous.
So the living condition in the camp is contributing to the prevalence and the spread of preventable disease, including skin disease, respiratory infection, but also gastrointestinal illness that will mainly impact the most vulnerable, including the children. We are also seeing pregnant women who are in need of emergency medical care. The living condition also contributes to anxiety, stress, and depression. That's why MSF is providing services: primary health care, sexual and reproductive health, mental health support, but also legal and social services to assist asylum seeker and refugee in Samos.
Of course, when you talk about the population that is contained in camps where living conditions are precarious, you can only imagine how it exacerbates actually the risk for ill health. So you talked about the winter, for example, on Samos this year, the blankets, although it's a regular need, every year we need blankets when it gets cold, and it took a couple of months actually for people to receive blankets. So then usually what we see is a spike in respiratory infections. It's really concerning as well, because in those camps you have a number of more vulnerable population. There's a very high number of children, pregnant women or elderly, and of course they're more at risk of COVID.
cold weather or in general climate conditions. And then in summertime, you have the risk of dehydration, which is also having an impact on the health.
Migrants rely on traffickers who organize their journeys illegally on rickety boats crowded with passengers. These trips are often dangerous because the small boats may not withstand the harsh marine conditions or the large number of passengers. There have been many incidents in which victims have drowned or been injured due to the difficult weather conditions. During the journey, migrants face a major threat from the Greek Coast Guard, who try to intercept the illegally migrating boats. Reports speak of attempts to prevent them from reaching Greek shores, often through imposing legal penalties on the traffickers or returning migrants to Turkey. The problem of illegal migration to Europe through Greece has garnered widespread attention from global news agencies due to its danger and impact on both European countries and the migrants themselves. Greece is one of the main gateways for illegal migrants from the Middle East and North Africa who are trying to reach Europe by sea or through the land border with Turkey. These news agencies also discuss European policies regarding migration, the conflicts between countries like Greece and Turkey over migrant crossings, and the associated humanitarian challenges.
The realities on the ground. On one hand, you have narrative explaining that, of course, migration policies need to be implemented in compliance with human rights or legal frameworks. But the realities on the ground is that you see that the dysfunctioning of the system, where there is the provision of assistance and services to the people inside the camp, where there is the functionality of the asylum services. There is delay in the appointment, there is delay in the interviews, you have a lack of interpretation, lawyers are not being paid, which means that some interviews cannot take place. You have again blankets being delayed. So it's really a disconnection between the overall narrative and also the amount of funding that is providing and then what is actually happening on the ground.
Illegal migration from the Middle East to Europe is one of the main results of armed conflicts, prolonged occupations, and political and economic instability. Some of the key causes of these phenomena include the ongoing Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands and the resulting humanitarian and social crises, with the only solution being the end of the Israeli occupation of Palestine and the achievement of a just and comprehensive peace in West Asia.
There is no work in Gaza. We work all day just to be able to buy the simplest necessities, and even housing has become very expensive. For this reason, we risk leaving Gaza, hoping to provide a decent life for our families.
Detention centers on the Greek island of Samos are among the places that witness difficult humanitarian conditions for refugees and migrants trying to reach Europe. Samos Island is one of several Greek islands located in the Mediterranean Sea and is a key crossing point for migrants and refugees arriving from Turkey in dangerous sea journeys.
Regarding the restrictions in the camp, they are very limiting for us, especially in terms of entering and exiting. The time restriction for leaving and entering is from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and after 9 p.m., entry into the camp is not allowed. The second restriction is the tax on passports. Some people are unable to pay this tax, and there are individuals who have completed all their procedures. But the only obstacle left is paying this tax. Moreover, there are severe consequences for not paying the passport fee. If this tax is not paid, the entire process is halted, and no assistance is provided in any way. The procedure must then be restarted from the beginning, which is a major obstacle for those who have received approval for asylum.
Humanitarian organizations provide medical care in refugee camps and areas experiencing conflicts, such as treatment for infectious diseases, first aid, surgical treatment for injuries resulting from conflicts, and treatment for war-related injuries. Psychological care and support. Due to the harsh conditions faced by refugees, organizations provide psychological support and counseling to help them overcome the psychological trauma caused by wars or displacement. The organization works to provide vaccinations to prevent diseases that may spread in refugee areas, such as measles and cholera, through organized vaccination campaigns.
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن مرقود.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. This is a short part of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints on results and outcomes of the uprising of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, set off the great Ashura uprising and by sacrificing his own blood and that of his dear ones, rescued Islam and justice, condemned the machinery of Bani Umayyad and devastated its pillars. Were it not for the sacrifice for the great protectors, elite guards of Islam and their brave martyrdom, the strangulating, cruel regime of the Umayyads would have presented Islam upside down and all efforts of Prophet and his devout disciples would have been wasted.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. Well, about the subject of Muharram and Ashura, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, the month of Muharram is the month during which people are ready to hear the issue of truth. Well, the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi centers around the truth of Ashura, which is what people should learn and get from the morning gatherings of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. After the martyrdom of Imam alayhi salam and his companions, when word of what had happened at Karbala spread everywhere, it had a very profound effect on Muslims. The one-sided nature of the killing of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his companions and the merciless nature of the rulers in killing them and taking their families captive caused the Muslims to begin to truly hate the Umayyads. In addition, the way the Imam alayhi salam and his companions were killed increased the respect and love of Imam alayhi salam in the hearts of the people. They saw Karbala as a true epic battle and this gave them the necessary courage to rise up against the Umayyad rulers. The revolts of people of Medina, the Tawabin, the Mukhtar, all had roots in Karbala and the wave of rage and courage which is inspired. What I intend to say is that Ashura has become more than just a historical fact. It can rather be likened to school which builds complete human beings. The revolution of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is not just something which only belongs to the Muslims of this world. It rather belongs to the freedom-seeking human beings of this world. Many of the intellectuals from various nations and faiths have used Karbala as a model and point of inspiration for salvation from oppression and unjust domination. There is hope that in the world of today, the oppressed nations will take lessons from the story of Karbala and rise up, crushing their oppressors once and for all. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that we run out of time for this episode. For ending, let me just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about Muharram and Ashura once more. He said, the month of Muharram is a month during which people are ready to hear the issue of truth. Thank you very much for listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
وسيم gate of knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. The program is The Gate of Knowledge. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqavi. And we are going to discuss another narration of Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wassalam, as presented in the Nahjul Balagha. This is the third narration that we are going to talk about, where Mawla Ali is talking about the different aspects of the human soul and different attributes of the human soul, which are not good. Imam Ali says, وَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَلْبُخْلُ عَارٌ وَالْجُبْنُ مَنْقَسَةٌ وَالْفَقْرُ يُخْلِسُ الْفَطِنْ أَنْ حُجَّتِهِ وَالْمُقِلُّ غَرِيبٌ فِي بَلْدَتِهِ. Here are 4 points that are to be taken into consideration. And one of them is, the first one is al-bukhl arun, being miserly, being stingy, is a matter of shame. Al-bukhlu arun. Wal-jubnu manqasatun, being afraid, being a coward in different situations is something which causes the personality of a person to become defective. Al-jubnu manqasatun. This causes a defect in one's personality. So we shall continue with the third one after the break.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, The Gate of Knowledge. We were talking about the narration from Imam Ali where he says al-bukhlu arun wal-jubnu manqasatun. We have talked about the first one and the second one. We're coming to the third part, wal-faqru yukhrisu al-fatin an hujjatih. Poverty causes a person who is intelligent otherwise, he will not be able to defend his case. He will not be able to put forward his argument. People will not listen to him. Unfortunately, there are people in society who look at the person, the position of a person, the wealth of a person, instead of looking at his knowledge and looking at his intelligence. So in the eyes of such people, he will not be acceptable. His words, even if they are wise words, intelligent words, he will not be able to make people accept his words. وَالْمُقِلُّ غَرِيبٌ فِي بَلْدَتِهِ. And a person who is a destitute, who lacks something of wealth or power, position, he is also, even if he is living in his own society, in his own city, even in his own town, but people will not look upon him. They will not be able, he will be a stranger to them in society because he will not be able to interact with them. He will not be able to meet people. People will not look upon him with a good name, and therefore he will feel that he is a stranger in society. So in these four parts that the Master of the Faithful, Amirul Mu'mineen, is talking about, he's pointing to the defects that we have in our personality, in our character, and they cause us to have a bad name in society, or they maybe diminish our stature in society. And number one is being miserly, stingy. We're not using, we have wealth in our hands, we have power, we have position, but we're not using it in a way that is appropriate to that position or to that power or to that wealth. We are refraining to use it in its proper place and in the proper manner. God Almighty has given us something, we're not using it. That is shameful. And then we have the situation where we are afraid of carrying out things. We do not take initiatives. We do not move into society with courage. And there, that is also something which causes a defect in our personality. Let's continue after the break.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, the Gate of Knowledge. We were talking about this narration of Imam Ali, Al-Bukhlu Arun wal-Jubnu Manqasatun wal-Faqru. We talked about the first and the second ones. We're now explaining the third one. Al-faqr yukhrisul fatin an hujjatih. Poverty. Of course, poverty means that we do not have wealth or power or position in society where we can present our case. People do not look at what we have in our brains, in our minds. We have knowledge, we have wisdom. But unfortunately, the society is prone towards people, look up to people of power instead of looking up to people of wisdom. And so in that situation, it is difficult for us to win over people towards us. So of course, we have to have enough knowledge and intellect, but we also have to try to achieve a stature in society where we can influence others. And the fourth one is وَالْمُقِلُّ غَرِيبٌ فِي بَلْدَتِهِ. And again, on the same theme as the previous one, if we lack in something, we need to get some of the things which are helpful in creating the environment for us to be able to influence others. And especially if we, as those who want to carry out a mission for the sake of Islam, and we want people to understand and we want them to accept what we are saying, we have to take these things into mind. So these are the very beautiful words of the Master of the Faithful. This is your host, Sayyid Salman Naqavi, and hope to see you in the next program of The Gate of Knowledge at IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور مجد cry for me, I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword, Palestine, forever Palestine. Children being killed for throwing stones in the sky. They say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine. Mother, don't worry when they come for us at night. Surely they'll be sorry when God puts them right. Tell me why they do it, what was done to them. Children of Palestine are fighting for our lives. They say to their parents, we know that Palestine is our right. They say to their parents, we'll fight for what is right. They say not to worry, God is on our side. Die for Palestine, Palestine, forever Palestine.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Said Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Said Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The recent launch of a Muslim association aspiring to be registered as a political party has caused an uproar in Italy. The association, named MURO 27, the acronym for Muslims for Rome, aims to participate in the 2027 mayoral elections in the Italian capital, Rome. Following the announcement of the new association, several Italian media close to Italy's ruling right coalition and some anti-immigrant League party members have slammed the initiative as a threat to Italy's liberal institutions, a project that, quote, aims to plant the crescent flag on Rome's Capitol Hill.
This initiative has been immediately exploited by some anti-immigrant, anti-Islam parties for political gain. Having said that, the initiators of this association should have involved the whole of the Muslim community.
I am of the idea that such initiatives are welcomed when they are in the public interest. Many Italians are very wary of traditional politics, but I am afraid they are not ready to support a Muslim candidate, as recently happened in New York.
The Muro 27 Association has been funded by a group of Muslims led by Francesco Thieri, an Italian engineer who converted to Islam about 20 years ago when he added to his name that of Abd al-Haq, one of the names of God in the Quran. Thieri already ran as a candidate in Rome's 2021 local elections. The Italian capital is home to about 120,000 Muslims, 40,000 of whom are Italian citizens. Islam is not formally recognized as a religion in Italy, despite 1.5 million Muslims live in the country. Furthermore, the organizations representing Muslims are also not legally recognized by the Italian state, albeit Muslims have the constitutional right to practice their religion.
To this day, the issue of the Muslims in Italy has been solely tackled with security policies, overlooking the political, social, and cultural dimensions of our religion. As for the new association, it's not clear yet, in my view, what the nature and the goals of this initiative are.
Strangely enough, Italy already has a Muslim mayor, but no controversy has been raised about this election. It is Moreno Marzetti, an Italian convert who also is a member of the anti-Islam, anti-immigrant League party. He was elected as mayor of Italy's northern town of Malo in 2020. Max Civili, Press TV, Rome.
A new report submitted to the United States Congress has reignited debate over China's rising defense capabilities. Citing Pakistan's battlefield performance during the May conflict, the assessment notes Islamabad's effective use of Chinese-supplied weaponry. The congressional report highlights that the systems sourced from China played a decisive role in Pakistan's recent military success, pointing to Beijing's steadily advancing defense industry. The findings are seen by analysts as a sign that Chinese platforms, long dismissed in Washington as second tier, are now demonstrating reliability and precision in real conflict scenarios. Islamabad's expanding partnership with Beijing through joint exercises and coordinated training reinforces this shift.
Without a doubt, China has surprised the world. However, China's weapons and technology are not yet tested. China has not been involved in as many wars as the USA. So their technology will be new and surprising, but we cannot say for certain they can outclass U.S. technology.
These trends come at a moment when the United States is expanding its own deployments in South Korea and Japan and intensifying patrols in the South China Sea. Regional observers say the growing China-Pakistan alignment is complicating Washington's broader strategy to contain Beijing's military rise. For Pakistan, the cooperation offers technological upgrades and strategic diversification, while for China, it signals greater influence across South and West Asia.
China is an emerging superpower, whether it is in terms of their economy or the speed of their jets. Their recent military parade shocked the world. President Xi Jinping was there too. They have changed the power dynamics of the region and definitely the world too.
From Islamabad's perspective, the message is straightforward. China's defense edge is becoming harder for Washington to ignore. And Pakistan's cooperation with Beijing is now part of that shifting balance. Anna Muhyiddin, Islamabad.
Wahdat Hall served as the venue for Iran's National Heroes Day. The event brought together people, including families of martyrs, officials and writers, to honor their heroes and reminisce about their legacy.
The key component of our strength lies in the role of families and women. Their support for the fighters ultimately contributes to hero-making and to the transmission of a culture of resistance to future generations.
Across Iran, people find heroism in those who gave their lives for the Islamic Revolution, the 8-year sacred defense, the nation's nuclear and missile programs, the fight against U.S.-backed Daesh, and the 12-day defense against the U.S. and the Zionist regime, offering the world a different definition of a hero.
The works produced in the literature of the sacred defense are of an enlightening and motivating nature, which is the same quality that contributed to the early spread of Islam.
The program was further enriched by the unveiling of three commendations written by the leader of the revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the lives of three martyrs.
The book Endless Fever not only recounts the life of a paraplegic veteran, but also portrays the way a family confronts and copes with this situation.
It was God's will that I became the mother of a martyr, and I must express my gratitude to all mothers of martyrs for raising such children.
The young companions of Martyr Soleimani, who sacrificed themselves to fight terrorism and imperialist schemes, perhaps serve as the strongest proof that the future generations of Iran will continue the path of resistance.
The National Heroes Day is named for the day when Martyr Soleimani's letter to Ayatollah Khamenei marked the annihilation of Daesh. 8 years later, Iranians continue to resist oppression, whether through literature or on the battlefield. Moin Amini, Tehran.
The scale of military spending across the 27-member European Union is staggering. On Wednesday, the bloc's executive arm, the European Commission, unveiled a new wave of major defence initiatives.
During the next 10 years, there will be around 6.8 trillion euros spent by member states for defence.
At the same time, more than 93 million EU citizens remain at risk of poverty, roughly 21% of the population. We put these figures to officials at Wednesday's defence briefing.
How do we justify this huge amount of money that we're spending in terms of military?
Of course, every government needs to spend on education, social affairs, everything. You know, the needs are enormous. The trouble is that, you know, if you have, you know, infrastructure attacked, if you have, you know, schools and hospitals attacked like they are right now in Ukraine, all of this doesn't matter if you are not able to defend what you have.
Since 2022, the EU has directed 177 billion euro toward Ukraine, much of it supporting Kiev's military effort. We asked members of the public for their views on military spending versus social investment.
The public support is not there, so I do think we need to strike a better balance and listen a bit better to the population.
It doesn't help either when you mentioned about this corruption, the latest corruption scandal in Ukraine. It kind of, that sways public opinion as well.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, I think that's people start asking questions, and rightly so.
It is very important to focus on the social crisis we're in right now. And so many people are not, like, they don't have their rights looked after, and that is should be a primary concern.
If you don't have defense capabilities and if you don't have deterrence, then you cannot really expect to cover any of the other aspects either, because if you don't have the basic safety in the society, then everything else falls wayside as well.
As the Commission pushes ahead with its plans for record military spending, the political risk is unmistakable. Many analysts say if citizens judge their leaders are prioritising arms manufacturers over the basic needs of ordinary people, it will certainly fuel a rise in anti-EU sentiment, the kind that will not only threaten this strategy, but the very future of the bloc itself. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The Israeli violations against Lebanon have intensified, with IOF targeting different villages across South Lebanon, striking multiple buildings. This direct assault on residential areas follows an Israeli drone strike on a vehicle in the town of At-Tiri, killing one person and injuring 11. Earlier, the Ain al-Halwi Palestinian refugee camp near Saidun witnessed a massacre. An Israeli strike hit a mini football stadium, claiming the lives of at least 14 people.
It is a message of intimidation to our Palestinian people in the Palestinian camps meant to produce political outcomes. It is one of many forms of pressure that our Palestinian people are being subjected to.
This ongoing bloodshed, driven by relentless assaults, signifies a dangerous escalation in the regime's unyielding campaign against the Arab nation. Hezbollah condemned the massacre at Ain al-Helwi as a blatant violation of Lebanon's sovereignty. The Lebanese resistance cautioned that any tolerance or weak response would only embolden the enemy, calling for a strong and unified approach to confront and deter the aggression. Hezbollah's Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qasem has said what Lebanon faces is not a failure to implement the ceasefire, but an aggression.
The events occurring today in Lebanon do not represent a mere failure to implement a ceasefire agreement. Instead, they signify a blatant act of aggression aimed at seizing control of Lebanon and stripping it of all forms of strength, military, economic, and political. Their objective is to take control of Lebanon.
Sheikh Qasem directly addressed the government, urging it to reject external pressures, highlighted that this is a time of steadfastness. According to the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, the Israeli regime has committed over 7,300 violations of Lebanese airspace and conducted 2,400 military operations inside Lebanon since the start of ceasefire in last November. In the face of an enemy that apparently understands only the language of force, a harsh truth becomes evident throughout Lebanon. The arms in the hands of Hezbollah are no longer a matter of political debate. They now represent the country's ultimate and singular deterrent against the Israeli aspirations.
For months, Tulkarem's neighborhoods have been bulldozed, sealed, and emptied during repeated Israeli raids that have turned entire residential blocks into rubble. As the world remains silent, hundreds of displaced families say they have been left to endure their trauma alone, living between relatives' homes, UN shelters, or temporary structures with no certainty of what comes next.
Nur Sham's camp has suffered greatly, and it continues to suffer. The camp has been emptied of all forms of life. We are expressing our rejection of this enemy's policies. This is a stance of refusal, not a plea for mercy from the occupier.
As Duja speaks, her voice steady but heavy with exhaustion, the sound of live fire cracks through the air above us, a stark reminder that even simple interview unfolds under danger.
As much as we are filled with pain over the camp's condition, we are equally proud of it. We are steadfast. If we were not causing the enemy pain, it wouldn't commit all this brutality against us.
New Shams residents say that the same brutality crushing Gaza is echoed here in the West Bank, where nearly a year of displacement have pushed families into tents and overcrowded apartments. Yet even under fire, they remain strong, insisting the world must not ignore their struggle.
Today, as you saw, we came for a peaceful stand, completely harmless. Yet the Israeli military opened fire. We pose no threat. Our situation is catastrophic. We are dying outside our camps and homes. Some people are living in mountains, tents, or paying extremely high rents. We want to return to our homes. Even if only one room remains, we want to go back.
For the people of Nur Shams, return is not a political slogan. It is a survival. After nearly a year of forced expulsion, their message remains the same. They will endure the danger, but refuse to surrender the place they call home. Standing here among the crowds in Nur Shams, you feel the exhaustion, but also the determination. Families who have lost everything are gathered shoulder to shoulder, insisting on a simple right to return to their homes they were forced to leave. Naqa Hamid, Tulkarem, Occupied West Bank.
In May and June of this year, Israeli actress Gal Gadot was in